Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Justin Ellis, National Symphony Orchestra.
And we're here talking about all the awesome stuff you guys do at the Kennedy Center as part of this larger DC music landscape long-term piece I'm working on. We've had all the people from all the different venues come in, and you know, I'm thinking, okay, Blues Alley, 9:30, and then I'm like, oh my God, the biggest one right under my nose that I wasn't even thinking about, because you know, you think ballet and everything else, the honors, but of course you guys have music year-round, so thanks for coming up and talking with us for this piece.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, so you, with NSO, you guys do a ton of stuff. Both with, you know, the normal NSO, the orchestral stuff, and then a lot of collaborations with even like pop artists, R&B, hip hop, that kind of stuff. I guess before we even get into some of those collaborations with the, you know, the radio artists, give me a sense of the history of NSO at Kennedy Center, just the orchestral part.
Yeah, so the National Symphony actually predates the Kennedy Center. We're several decades older than the Kennedy Center and affiliated in the 80s, but started performing as our main venue back when the building opened. And when a lot of people think of the core orchestra, they're thinking of just, you know, the Brahms, the Beethoven, the Mahler. But really for, you know, almost as many decades as American orchestras have been around, we've had kind of this popular side of it. And with the NSO, it's been kind of an ever-evolving thing. It changes with the flavor of our music director. It changes with who our executive director is and really what's happening in the country.
And so lately that's involved, you guys brought in Q-Tip.
Yeah.
Head up the hip-hop collaborations with you guys. Who are some of the artists you guys have brought in and done some collaborations with?
Yeah, so as far as the Kennedy Center at large, we're fortunate that we have kind of a wide swath of all the art forms, of the performing art forms, and we're probably one of the only performing art centers that presents high art and contemporary art at the same time. And contemporary doesn't mean, you know, 20th century art. It means hip hop. It means comedy. It means bluegrass. It means rock. And we actually have been able to bring in people from that world to actually oversee the artistic portfolio, like Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest. He's our first ever artistic director of hip hop culture.
It's awesome. Give me a rundown. I mean, I could sit here and list them, you know, Kendrick Lamar, Nas, some of the people you guys have done that with, but I can't use it unless I have you on tape saying it. So give us a rundown of some of the hip-hop artists we've collaborated with.
Well, just to reiterate what you said, we've had many collaborations over the past several years in the hip-hop field, and we're sort of the first orchestra to put a stamp on it. And one of the first large ones was with Nas doing his album Illmatic. We did the world premiere with Kendrick Lamar of To Pimp a Butterfly, and we did kind of a retrospective with the hip-hop artist Common. We've had a lot of R&B artists from the greats like Patti LaBelle and Diana Ross, to contemporary voices like Ledisi and Brandy coming up this season, and Boys to Men. Yeah, lots of R&B folks, and we're really kind of pushing forward what genres work with orchestras at the National Symphony.
It's so awesome. And I know you guys also do a lot of the movie music concerts. Tell us about those. Those are awesome. Both at Kennedy Center and Wolf Trap.
Yeah, so orchestras are fortunate that we're able to kind of adapt with whatever art form fits best with us, and one of the huge growing mediums right now, probably actually the fastest in our field, is films. We've been fortunate to play dozens and dozens of films out at Wolf Trap, from doing, you know, U.S. premieres and world premieres, such as Back to the Future, the contemporary Star Trek films with the scores by Michael Giacchino, and Raiders of the Lost Ark and La La Land. And at the Kennedy Center, we've been able to do, you know, the classics like Harry Potter and Star Wars and E.T. and Home Alone, but also premiering films that hadn't been done before with orchestra, like Jurassic World, doing the film Selma and the film Get Out, where we're kind of always pushing the edge on not just kind of the big blockbusters, but things that have, you know, a further meaning to society.
Yeah, definitely. And what's the difference between an audience that'll come maybe see you guys at Wolf Trap versus Kennedy Center? I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, for this larger music piece, the whole idea is there's so many options in town. And I mean, I'm making it, it's sort of like a rising tide raises all boats. I'm definitely don't want to like pit the venues against each other. That's not what we're doing. But more in terms of, you know, what's the slice of the pie that you think Kennedy Center and Wolf Trap offer compared to, you know, if you want to go see music there versus somewhere else? I guess it's obvious because you're watching it with an orchestra. Let's see, Leanne Rimes with an orchestra.
Yeah, you exactly.
Know, but yeah, just give me a sense of like, you know, where you think your slice of that pie is.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to strategy, and our strategy is just being unique and being with an orchestra. You have a way of experiencing the art form that you've never thought of. So a film Wolf Trap or, you know, the 930 Club or the Anthem could just screen a film, but it's not the same as having a full 90-piece orchestra there. And our strategy has been not just doing things that could be done with an orchestra, but things that haven't yet been done with an orchestra. And that's been part of our portfolio both at Wolf Trap and at the Kennedy Center. And I think, you know, just the uniqueness of them being federal properties with having a performing arts center has a certain allure to them that you don't have elsewhere in the country, that there's just a, sort of this awe factor that you have of being in a national park with an amphitheater in it, or being in a living memorial to John F. Kennedy, but that's also one of the largest art centers in the world. So we definitely get a bit of a benefit by having those in our toolkit. But I think it's also just that we try to present high quality art no matter what it is. And it's not just about playing the very best Beethoven possible. It's about doing the best at everything that you do. So when we approach a show with a hip hop artist, we make sure that we're doing it respectfully, that we're approaching their world as much as they're approaching our world, that we're finding the very best team to put together. And I think that sets us unique than a lot of other art centers. And that's why people are attracted to coming to both Wolf Trap and the Kennedy Center.
Talk about just sort of the patrons' experience, like, and we're radio, so we got to paint a visual picture for me. Theater of the mind here, but when you walk in the Kennedy Center, it's so different than going to a concert than, you know, at 9:30 a club that you go in for like the grittier GA pit kind of mosh vibe. But here you walk in, describe like what you see, you know, the grandeur of it, and then you're seeing these famous artists or the orchestra in the set. Describe the setting and why that makes it such a standout.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you just look at the Kennedy Center as a specific venue, it's hard to match its, you know, sort of stature within D.C. It's one of the largest buildings, looking at it as this kind of brick on the Potomac, and we're even expanding it southward a little bit, which is opening in September. And when you enter into it, you're entering into this cavernous, but in the best possible meaning of the word, Hall of Nations or Hall of States, where it's just kind of awe-inspiring to think, I'm in this building. It has 9 other theaters in it. There's no other theater like that in, you know, the country like this. And then you're going into these unique, you know, bespoke theaters for different arts forms. So you're going into the concert hall where the National Symphony performs, and you're seeing this grand kind of shoebox type, you know, theater with, you know, floor seating and all the pars and boxes and things like that. And you just feel kind of a certain way about the space. The space gets a certain emotional rise out of you. And that's what's really attractive about a lot of contemporary artists, is they are playing in the pits with the GA and the state fairs and the grungier things that have 4 layers of beer spilled on the floor. In the Kennedy Center, you just kind of, it's more about a total experience. The venue is as much a part of the experience as is the art that you're seeing. And I think that that's really what sets it apart. And just the way that each venue is meant for different kinds of art forms, so that you're not just seeing everything kind of reconfigured for one room. You'll see opera in the Opera House. You'll see, you know, orchestra in the concert hall. You'll see small kind of spoken word things up in the Terrace Theater, chamber music. And you don't really have that opportunity with a lot of other venues, and especially with the kind of history that the building has.
Absolutely. And of course, the Big Daddy, we're coming up on. I mean, it's lit up right now. We're heading into the Kennedy Center Honors. I mean, we can't talk about music at the Kennedy Center without, I mean, some of my favorite, most memorable performances were at the Kennedy Center Honor. I mean, I remember Lady Gaga doing If I Ever Lose My Faith for Sting, or of course, the late Aretha Franklin coming out and just tearing down the rafters for Carole King, Natural Woman. Do you have any standout music performances that you remember from the honor specifically?
I mean, it's hard to beat those two that you just mentioned. And I think that a lot of, you know, the country is obviously consuming this by TV. And one of the great things is a lot of those clips. I think one of the really special ones is the band that paid tribute to Led Zeppelin, Heart.
Oh, yeah. Ann Wilson, yeah.
Exactly.
She made him cry.
Absolutely. And, of course, it's hard to not just reemphasize the special, unique quality that Aretha Franklin had, and the kind of emotional reaction that the Obamas felt and Carole King felt and kind of everyone in the room, where you knew that this was a special thing. You knew that it doesn't happen every day and that you're probably not going to see it again. And sadly enough, that became true not too so long after. And I think that the specialness of the honors is you're finding all these different artists this year, you know, Philip Glass and the musical Hamilton and Reba McEntire and Cher. And, you know, it's just impossible not to be overwhelmed by the magnitude of what you're able to do. And then the tributes, I mean, these people come in from all over the world to pay tribute to these people, and they find, you know, new and different and creative ways while still being respectful and, you know, paying tribute to their life, but also more importantly, their art form, their contribution to the country.
Absolutely. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add? I got plenty of good stuff to use here. So why should we keep, in closing, why should our listeners come? I mean, if they've been to the Kennedy Center a million times, why give them a little reminder why they got to get out there again.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I travel across the world and go to different music festivals and venues, I still find that the Kennedy Center is one of the most unique experiences one can have in the country. And I think its uniqueness is not just the power of any one part of it. I think it's part of the whole. And you're contributing to a part of a continual legacy of John F. Kennedy and arts in general. So I think that it's important to keep contributing, keep, you know, subscribing, keep buying single tickets. And it doesn't matter if you want to go and see Beethoven or if you want to go see the next hit musical. I think it's important just to be there.
Awesome. Where do we go from here? I mean, D.C., people don't think of it as like a New Orleans or an Austin, and do you think a lot of the reason of that is because there's not that big marquee, you know, music festival that happens, and do you think that's possible even here in D.C.?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think when you think of the major players in music, you think of these towns and cities and places that have major music festivals that bring in this kind of really disruptive arts festival that how can you not know about and talk about it? You have people that have never been to Bonnaroo, and yet they're always talking about Bonnaroo or Burning Man. And I think that the thing that would set Washington apart from the way that it's currently laid within the field is we have all the pieces here. We just need to tie it together in a large festival. And I think with something like Amazon coming in, if it, you know, was the Amazon Music Festival or the Amazon Culture Festival, if we were able to use the 930 Club, the Anthem, Wolf Trap, the Kennedy Center, Birchmere, and tie together a massive citywide music festival that takes over the place of a week, a weekend, a month, I think that that would be the way to make Washington seen as a major music player in the country. There's something special about Washington, D.C. that you just do not get anywhere else in the country, where you just feel a certain specialness to it because of what we've seen in politics and what you see in films and television and everything that's, you know, fictionalized and real. And wouldn't it be amazing if you had somebody doing a solo acoustic set in front of, you know, the Lincoln Memorial, and then you have an amazing graphic artist who's doing video mapping on the Washington Monument, and then you just have an all-nighter 24-hour concert at the Anthem, and then you come to the Kennedy Center and it's just a complete like bonanza of culture and arts where we're engaging all, you know, 9 theaters in the building and the reach that's going to be to the South. I think if we could really pull together instead of just going somewhere to an open desert, I think if we use the infrastructure that we have in the city, it would be unmatched to what you could do in the rest of the country, because who wouldn't want to come and perform here?
I say we make it happen.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Maybe that's the whole point of this piece. We're going to highlight all you guys, but we're also in the end, our takeaway is going to be let's all bring it together, and we're going to launch the DC Music Fest. I don't know what the heck we'd call it. Sponsored by Amazon. I don't know what it would be, but I like the idea of that.
Yeah, Amazon presents Washington, DC Music and Culture Fest.
I let's do it.
Absolutely.
But it's just sparked. The spark just happened. Yep. Because we said it, it's going to happen. So
yeah, we put it out into the ether.
Put it in the universe, and that's going to happen. All right, thanks, man.
All right, thank you.